Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program, so happy and blessed to be here with you again today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, we are in one of the most joyful and prayerful times of the year, the holy season of Advent. We said goodbye to the old liturgical year on November 28th, and began the new year on the first Sunday of Advent, November 29th. Of course, it's entirely appropriate that the new liturgical year begin with the coming of the Lord, both in the remembrance of his birth in a stable in Bethlehem so long ago, and in the recollection of his future coming as the divine judge at the end of time. We get the word Advent from the Latin Advenio, which means to come. And while we see the days grow shorter and colder, we turn toward hope and prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of Justice, who brings light and the fire of his love to our often dark and chilly hearts. Well, in a few moments, I'd like to pray together with you the Chaplet of the Unborn Jesus, which is a very special Advent and pro-life prayer. But right now, we'll go to this week's In the News. A study published last month in the Environmental Health Perspectives Journal found that women who use the contraceptive injection known as Depo-Provera have an average of 18% higher levels of lead in their blood compared to those who do not use the drug. The study was led by a Michigan State University researcher who attributed the higher levels of lead in the blood of Depo-Provera users to the loss of bone mineral density. When bone loss occurs, lead is released into the bloodstream. There is widespread consensus in the medical community that there is no safe level for lead in the blood, and any amount can negatively affect all organ systems of the body, causing serious health problems. And the U.S. Justice Department has quietly amended its execution protocols to allow the federal government to conduct executions by lethal injection or to use any other manner prescribed by the law of the state in which the sentence is imposed. Several states allow for other methods of capital punishment, including electrocution, inhaling nitrogen gas, and death by a firing squad. Earlier this year, the federal government carried out its first execution in nearly two decades at the federal prison in Terre Haute. Two more executions are scheduled for this month. And much like the court battle surrounding abortion laws, Indiana may soon find itself taking the lead in similar clashes that concern same-sex marriage. Recently, in Box versus Henderson, eight Indiana lesbian couples who had used sperm donors to conceive children sued the state to be able to have both women listed as the parents on the children's birth certificates. The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals sided with the women, stating that the lesbian couples must be given the same legal recognition as heterosexual couples. The circuit court had based its decision on the 2017 precedent, Pavin versus Smith, that had declared it unconstitutional to not allow the name of both same-sex parents to be listed on a child's birth certificate. Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill, however, has not conceded the case and has submitted a petition for certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court. Supporters of marriage and family are hoping that the high court will take up the case and that a new conservative majority would mean a victory for truth and the preservation of the natural law. And finally, after a reprieve from abortions during Thanksgiving week, 19 unborn children were murdered this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Many of those women came from Kentucky. One was from Illinois and the others from various Hoosier counties. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand all day long to offer hope, help, and love to the women, both as they came in and as they left. You can be a part of this important mission work there at 421 South College Avenue by attending the upcoming Sidewalk Advocates for Life training session to be held on Saturday, January 23rd from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. in the conference hall at the Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center. Call 812-825-4642 extension 1 to register or to find out more. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, the words of Isaiah in chapter 45, verse 8, are used extensively throughout the season of Advent, and they've come to be known as the Advent prose. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the clouds rain down the just one. Let the earth be opened and bud forth a Savior, and let justice spring up together. I, the Lord, have created him. This was the prayer of the Israelites, God's chosen people, and oh, how long did they have to wait for their anointed deliverer. This prayer is made our own during the holy season of Advent. Even though our Savior has already come, suffered his passion and death, and reopened for us the gates of heaven, but we renew this longing for the Messiah every Advent, calling to mind our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. God is always full of surprises, and his ways are not ours. Instead of raising up the Messiah, the new Adam, from the dust of the earth, as the first Adam had been created, Almighty God chose to use the immaculate substance and womb of a maiden Jewish woman named Mary. It was all done so quietly and hidden away, with no fanfare nor extraordinary announcements to the world, as Gabriel entered the dwelling of the Virgin Mary in Nazareth to ask for her consent to be the mother of God. We won't hear this beautiful account of that moment when the Word was made flesh until the Monday after the fourth Sunday of Advent. Nonetheless, we should keep it and those months that Christ was concealed in the womb of Mary in the forefront of our contemplation during this time of preparation for the celebration of Christ's birth. And there have been saints who have done just that. One such blessed is Saint Louise de Marillac, a French woman who was under the spiritual direction of Saint Vincent de Paul and helped set up and direct his Daughters of Charity. Louise had always desired to become a nun, but on the advice of her confessor, she married Antony Lagrasse in 1613. But after only 12 years of marriage, Antony died, and Louise devoted the rest of her life to working with Saint Vincent de Paul. She wrote The Rule of Life for the Vincentian community of women who worked and cared for the sick, the poor, and the neglected. And Saint Louise received much of her inspiration and direction for the religious order from her meditations on Jesus within the womb of his mother Mary. Now, it all began one Advent season when she was moved to ponder in her heart the unborn Christ Jesus and the joy that was Mary's as he lay silently in her immaculate womb for 9 months. This devotion was so helpful to her that she took up its daily meditation, devoting a quarter of an hour of prayer precisely at noon every day to honor the moment when the Word was clothed in human flesh in the Virgin's womb. She was even inspired to compose a little chaplet made up of 9 beads in honor of the 9 months preceding the birth of the infant God. St. Vincent de Paul at first agreed to this devotional practice of the chaplet of the unborn Jesus, but after about 3 years, he asked her to discontinue its use. We know not why, but perhaps God wanted to test her in the holy virtue of obedience. St. Louise promptly obeyed St. Vincent's request, but later, in a letter to him, she wrote, "I feel that I must tell your charity that I was and still am sorry at having to abandon those little prayers, because I believe that the Blessed Virgin wanted me to render her this small tribute of gratitude. But with her, I console myself by offering my renunciation to her and by resolving to please her in some other way and to serve her with greater fervor." Well, not many Catholics have heard about this chaplet of the unborn Jesus, but there are some who do know about it and pray it, and gain great light by reflecting upon this most sublime mystery of the Incarnation in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And to me, this devotion seems like yet another powerful arsenal in our spiritual cache to help end abortion. So I'd like to spend the next few minutes praying this little chaplet with you and introducing you to it if you've never heard of it before, because it truly is one of the most beautiful prayers to offer. So let's begin now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And we offer this chaplet of the unborn Jesus to pray for an end to abortion and for the protection of all unborn babies from the very first moment of their conception all the way through the 9th month, as well as for their mothers and fathers. We show our honor to you, O blessed ever Virgin Mary, for you are the daughter of God the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We show our honor to you, O blessed ever Virgin Mary, for you are the mother of God the Son.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We show our honor to you, O blessed ever Virgin Mary, for you are the spouse of God the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We pray now 9 Hail Marys for each month Jesus was hidden in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. For the first month, blessed be God, for you use the blood of your humble handmaid, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to form the pure and holy body of your Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For the second month, blessed be God, for you use the blood of your humble handmaid, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to form the pure and holy body of your Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For the third month, blessed be God, for you use the blood of your humble handmaid, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to form the pure and holy body of your Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For the fourth month, blessed be God, for you use the blood of your humble handmaid, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to form the pure and holy body of your Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For the fifth month, blessed be God, for you use the blood of your humble handmaid, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to form the pure and holy body of your Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For the sixth month, blessed be God, for you use the blood of your humble handmaid, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to form the pure and holy body of your Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For the seventh month, blessed be God, for you use the blood of your humble handmaid, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to form the pure and holy body of your Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For the eighth month, blessed be God, for you use the blood of your humble handmaid, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to form the pure and holy body of your Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. For the ninth month, blessed be God, for you use the blood of your humble handmaid, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to form the pure and holy body of your Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Almighty God, in whom the universe cannot contain, you mercifully subjected yourself to confinement in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Your flaming love for mankind impelled you to enter into time and space, taking upon yourself our human nature. You could have chosen to be raised up out of the dust like the first Adam, But in your wisdom you chose to clothe yourself in flesh by using the uncorrupted blood and womb of the new Eve, the Virgin Mary. To what dignity and reverence have you now raised every unborn child and mother? May we, like you, offer many hidden works and sacrifices for the protection of all unborn children and in thanksgiving to God for the gift of the Incarnation and for the gift of life. Amen. Well, St. Louise de Marillac wasn't the only one to have had a devotion to the motherhood of Mary and the hidden life of the unborn Jesus in her chaste womb. Another one was St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, the first native-born American to be canonized by the Church. As with St. Louise, Elizabeth had been married until her husband William fell victim to the yellow fever epidemic. And like St. Louise, Elizabeth was a mother. So the two enjoyed that maternal connection with the Virgin Mary, having experienced what it's like to carry a precious child in the womb and to nurse him at the breast. Both saints knew that intimate joy of carrying a child made in the image and likeness of God. How much more, they pondered, must have been the joy of Our Lady in carrying God Himself in her womb. No doubt their own motherhood helped lead them to this special devotion to the unborn Jesus. In a conference that she was giving to her sisters, St. Elizabeth, lost in contemplation, once exclaimed, "His 9 months within her, oh, what passed between them, she alone knowing him. For there was indeed a time when Mary alone of all mankind knew that the Messiah had come, she his tabernacle, Mary full of grace, mother of Jesus. Oh, we love and honor Jesus when we love and honor you." So lots of good things to reflect upon during these holy days of Advent, which are most beneficial to us when we spend them with Jesus in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What kinds of sweet and adoring colloquies went on between the unborn child and his mother during those 9 months? Jesus obtained all of his physical nourishment from his mother, everything he needed to grow and develop in the same manner that every unborn child grows and develops. He, in turn, provided everything his mother needed for her spiritual sustenance. What a beautiful exchange that took place within her womb. I know when I was pregnant with each of my 6 children, I relied on the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, to help me know and appreciate what was going on in the development of my unborn child. I was eager to read about how this tiny new life inside of me was being constructed, about how this little one had her own set of chromosomes right from the get-go, and that her genetic blueprint was right there, complete with what her hair collar and eye collars would be. I remember being so exhausted at the beginning of the pregnancy and finding out there was a good reason for that. The placenta was being formed to allow for oxygen, water, and nutrients to pass from my blood to feed my unborn child and to remove any waste material. The book told me that making the placenta was hard work, in fact, the equivalent of climbing a mountain. So there's a very good reason why a woman is so tired at the beginning of a pregnancy. Her body is hard at work. God has wonderfully made every woman's body to have the capacity to perform this most noble labor of love. I also learned that by the 21st day or so after fertilization, the baby's circulatory system was being formed, and her tiny heart was beating up to 121 times a minute. Though I would be unable to hear it beating for another few weeks, the thought that it was already ticking away filled me and my husband with great joy. With each passing week, I would pore over the fetal development information to find out how my baby was growing and what she was doing. And what I read was utterly amazing and miraculous, which makes the thought of abortion all the more horrendous and stupefying. Each one of us grew and developed in the same way within our mother's wombs, and so did our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can imagine his tiny heart beating for the first time, the placenta being formed so that Mary's body could nourish him, his bodily systems and organs being fashioned over time, his tiny legs delivering those first kicks that Mary would feel and cherish. The unborn Jesus would have been soothed and made happy every time he heard his mother's voice, especially as she sung to him. For 9 months, he lived with his sacred heart beating with love for mankind in the womb of Blessed Ever-Virgin Mary, until he came forth like a bridegroom from his chamber. St. Paul in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, "He had to become like his brothers in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. And thus he became an unborn child for us." Well, in the proclamation of the Word of God for the second Sunday of Advent, we hear in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, the first few verses of chapter 40. Part of this beautiful passage reads, "O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up on a high mountain. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." Now, it's helpful to know that the book of Isaiah is divided into two parts. Chapters 1 through 39 are grouped together as the book of judgment, and they warn of God's punishment if the people do not obey his commandments and place their trust in him. Specifically, these 39 chapters are centered on the Babylonian exile, which began in 586 BC, when the king of the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and enslaved the Jewish people. Isaiah makes it clear that King Nebuchadnezzar was God's instrument to punish the Jewish people for their sins. But the remaining chapters of Isaiah, 40 through 66, are called the Book of Consolation. They lift up the promise of redemption for the Jewish people and the expiation of sin. The Book of Consolation begins precisely with chapter 40, verse 1, when the Lord says, "Comfort, comfort my people." God wants them to know that even though they are currently enduring the just punishments due to their sins, he has not forgotten nor forsaken them. They continue to be his people whom he loves as a father. He also lets them know that they will eventually return to Jerusalem, where they will rebuild the city and the temple. Of course, it's easy to draw the parallel from the book of Isaiah between the Babylonian exile and the spiritual captivity to sin that we found ourselves in, exiled from paradise, the gates to the eternal city closed. But there was the consolation that a Savior would come to deliver us, and that once more we'd have the opportunity to reach our heavenly Jerusalem. And it's from this book of consolation in Isaiah that the great messianic oracles are told. These are some of the reasons why the church chooses readings from the prophet Isaiah during the season of Advent. Now let's go back to that verse that I just read a moment ago, Isaiah 40, verse 9. "O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up on a high mountain. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." Among other things, we could see this as our calling to courageously bear witness to people all around us who are trapped in a culture of death by proclaiming to them, "Behold your God, who comes to you meekly and so sweetly as a child. He spent 9 months in solidarity with humanity in the womb of his mother, and then was born in such poor and lowly conditions, all so that we might not be frightened away by his power and divinity. Also that he might fully show the love he has for each one of us by making himself vulnerable and completely dependent upon a human mother for his sustenance. He clothed himself in human flesh so that he might suffer in that same flesh, bearing our sins in his body so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. See what kind of love the Father has given us, a child." As Pope Francis once said, we must contemplate that child and let ourselves be caught up in his tender love. This is the good news, the good tidings that we have to proclaim unto our city right here in Bloomington, and that a child is a gift. One of the best ways we have of doing this is by being out there on the sidewalks at 421 South College Avenue every Thursday when it's abortion day or any other day that they're open. In fact, there are sidewalk advocates out there all week. We must not be afraid, but lift up our voices with strength and confidence. For behold, our God came as a little child and was carried in the womb of his mother for 9 months. The dragon stood before the woman about to give birth to devour her child, says Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. We see this same spiritual battle between a culture of life and a culture of death played out every day in our country, and especially every Thursday here in Bloomington. Contemplating the unborn Jesus and the divine maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as well as reading and meditating upon the sacred scripture that is given to us during this holy season of Advent, will help us to see the urgent need of entering into this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in and what we need to do. Coming up in January will be an opportunity for you to consider becoming a Sidewalk Advocate for Life or prayer partner there at 421 South College Avenue. A training session will be held on Saturday, January 23rd, starting at 10 a.m. and lasting until about 3 p.m. at the Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center. A meal and any material you might need will be provided. Again, that's Saturday, January 23rd, starting at 10 a.m. at the Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center. You'll be taught everything you need to know about how to reach out in love to abortion-minded women and all those who are going into the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. It's not near as hard or even fearful as you might think. And remember, perfect love casts out all fear. You can call the Retreat Center at 812-825-4642 extension 1 to find out more or to register. That's 812-825-4642 extension 1. I pray that your love for the unborn divine child will urge you on to consider getting more involved in this most important ministry. For whatever we do for the least of our brethren, we do for the unborn Jesus. We've got the great pro-life feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe coming up soon, so next week we'll talk about this miraculous apparition of hope that helped to end a culture of death in 16th century Mexico. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.